there's no place like home for the holiday.
Two friends on the couch of summer nights, horror flicks bringing out the fright, sipping soda, laughing at the scene. Fat boy summer living out our dreams. Here we are in the globeless screen, just two fat boys living a horror dream. Midnight snacks, popcorn in the air, chasing shadows without a care, cracking jokes, making memories. Late night horror, just you and me. In this golden glow we own the night, two fat boys in a summer light, laughing loud through the scary scenes. Handful of chips living out our dreams. With every jump scare we scream and shout, this fat boy summer's what it's all about.
Horror for the Holidays. It's Horror for the Holidays presents Fat Boy Summer. I'm sorry, you caught me in the middle of sipping my Mai Tai poolside. Oh, pool boy, another drink here. Well, Jeff will be along shortly.
Y'all drink, sir.
Oh, thank you, sir. Jeff's getting ready to jump in the pool here. Hold on.
Cannonball!
Ah, oh no!
My leg!
My baby!
All of my babies! All the sextuplets!
Oh, God. I think I hit the bottom, Jay. That pool's only 10 feet deep.
Well, what did they expect hosting the Fat Boy Summer Party here?
I guess we got time to record an episode, Jay, because the water level just dropped 6 feet, so it's going to take a while to refill.
Well, Jeff, it is party time, as everyone knows.
It is party time.
Yeah, as we hinted at, it's party.
God.
It's party time.
Please tell me you got Linnea Quigley to come to this party, Jay.
I invited her. She didn't show up.
I don't even care if it's 1985. I take now.
I mean, I invited her. You know, Linnea, she's busy. I mean, I'm sure she would love to stop by the pool for Fat Boy Summer. But
I mean, who wouldn't?
Yep.
We're just in this tropical paradise.
Yeah, she's effectively like our if it wasn't for Simon Phillips being our patron saint, I kind of think Linnea would be our patron saint.
I mean, she's close, definitely. Yeah. She's in the running. So, Jay, how did you explain to your wife that we were going on vacation together and leaving our families at home?
It was pretty difficult.
Let's just say it's a good thing we're going to be gone for 4 weeks for Fat Boy Summer.
Caw, caw! oh, damn seagulls. Well, let's dive in to Fat Boy Summer. We're talking about the Return of the Living Dead.
Dun dun dun.
I should put the at the front.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I saw it. He just added the to the notes.
All right. Released August 16th, 1985. I mean, honestly, I probably would have put it out in late June, early July, but pretty good.
Still, I mean, it's summer. People are looking for a fun movie.
And maybe getting a little bit of those fall feelings.
Yeah.
People wanting something a little spooky.
But I mean, yeah, I would, if I had the option, I would have definitely put it out closer to the 4th of July.
Written and directed by Dan O'Bannon, who has quite the notable list of credits. Visual effects on Star Wars: A New Hope. And wrote Total Recall and a little movie called Alien.
Indeed. Came up with the iconic chestburster scene, and then there's a debate to how much of the rest of his script they kept. They say not very much, but I have a feeling that's because they want to own the copyright to it. So, and he contends that they did not change as much as they claim they changed from the original. And they, I mean, even they freely admit that the chestburster was his whole concept.
I mean, that's the thing with his visual effects background and some of the stuff you see in this movie. Like,
yes.
Yeah, that's kind of there.
Strangely, though, this is his one of two movies he directed. Kind of weird because he seems to have a talent for it.
Yep. Writers also include Rudy Ricci, who appeared in both Night of the Living Dead and Dawn of the Dead. We've got Russell Striner, who plays Johnny in Night of the Living Dead. They're coming to get you, Barbara. It's a famous line.
So, quick side note, we have a local chain called Zombie Burger that has burgers themed after all these things.
Oh, we should have talked about that on our zombie episode.
Yes, we should have. I just now thought of that because I was like, I want a walking ched.
Zombie burger. I'm off topic. Zombie burger's gotten way better, I think. When it first opened up, I honestly thought it was trash, and I went for the aesthetic. Mm-hmm. Now I go and I'm like, food's actually pretty good.
Oh, it's good food. Total aside, but yes.
Yeah. But back to diving in. And we've got John Russo.
Boo.
The other guy in Night of the Living Dead, the non George Romero guy.
Yes, yeah, so not only did he hold the Living Dead thing hostage and not let anybody else use it, he literally turns everything to garbage that he touches. His script, basically, the studio was like, hey, people recognize Night of the Living Dead, so we want to make a movie that has a similar title so people think it's a sequel, even though it's not. And so they're like, we'll buy this concept from you, but they got what's called a page one rewrite deal, which means basically they want your title, but they think your idea is crap, and they're going to hire somebody else to write the story.
Well, I mean, Jeff, there's no way his movies are crap. I mean, the last time we saw a John Russo movie, it was Santa Claus, C-L-A-W-S.
Yes, he's Santa Rakes. Santa Garden Rakes.
Yeah. Oh, boy. We got Clue Gallagher as Bert, but I probably knew him first as Jesse's dad in A Nightmare on Elm Street 2, the gayest movie ever made. Man, that was, for the longest time, I think that was the first Nightmare on Elm Street movie I'd ever seen.
Wow.
And I'm like, is it just me, or is Nightmare on Elm Street 2 pretty gay? And years later, it turns out, it's pretty gay. James Caron, who plays Frank, was Mr. Teague in Poltergeist. Don Calta plays Ernie. Calta, sorry. I think I'm going to say Thom Matthews. Mm-hmm. It might be Tom. I actually knew a guy who THOM, and he insisted it was pronounced Thom. Mm-hmm. Is Freddy, and we will see him for Fat Boy Summer 2 if that ever happens.
It will.
For Return of the Living Dead 2, and maybe Fat Boy Summer might start to include some summer camp movies at some point. Friday the 13th, 6, Jason Lives.
That'd be good. I think that would fit well.
We've got Beverly Randolph as his girlfriend, Tina. We've got John Philbin as Chuck. We've got Jewel Shepherd as Casey. We've got probably my second favorite person in this movie. We've got Miguel A. Nunez Jr., who plays Spider in this movie. Jeff would know him best as Styx in Leprechaun 4 in Space.
Yes.
But I would know him best for the enchilada-hating demon in Friday the 13th 5.
Oh, enchiladas.
Oh, the damn enchiladas! Brian Peck is Scuzz and is in Return of the Living Dead 2 and 3. Mark Venturini plays Suicide and was Victor in Friday the 13th 5. And most importantly, we've got Linnea Quigley, Iowa's own, as playing trash in this movie, and we'll see her again so many times.
Awooga, Jay.
We've got The Barn. We've got The Barn 2. I believe both of those are Halloween movies. We've got Graduation Day, if we ever decide to do a graduation-themed movie. We've got a movie called Jacko that looks pretty spooktacular-worthy, maybe. We've got The Last Thanksgiving, Caesar and Otto's Deadly Christmas. Hell, she's got a movie coming out called Robot Dracula. And that just sounds great. I don't know what that's about. It sounds amazing.
She's got a movie about being a hooker in L.A. and she wields a chainsaw and fights zombies again.
Fuck yeah. Linnea's great in everything. Like I said, if it wasn't for Simon Phillips, Linnea would probably be our patron saint.
She also has, when she was at the height of her fame, she had a workout tape. Those were all the rage in the 80s. And her workout is with zombie extras.
Andrea owns a copy. My wife owns a copy of that. Nice. Jonathan Terry as Colonel Glover. We last saw him as Starker in Halloween 3. John Stewart West plays Riot Cop 1. And we last saw him in Night of the Comet as Monster Cop. Alan Troutman plays Tarman, the famous iconic zombie.
Yep.
Budget of $4 million estimated, made over $14
million. Smash it, especially for the time.
Was originally planned to be directed by Toby Hooper, I read.
Yes, Toby Hooper backed out.
Makes you wonder how different the movie would have been.
I'm guessing probably pretty different.
Tagline, they're back from the grave and ready to party. Because it's party time.
It is party time.
There are four sequels to the original timeline. There is a movie coming out this year or next year called Return of the Living Dead Trash's Revenge, which is partially crowdfunded and is, I believe, maybe a direct sequel to this one. And then there's a direct sequel coming out later this year that is supposedly going to take place at Christmas. So we've got a lot of Return of the Living Dead content to get through.
Indeed.
Where to watch? Buy a DVD, buy a Blu-ray.
Buy the 4K remaster. If you don't want to buy, if you don't trust us, if you don't trust the Fat Boys of Fat Boy Summer, it's still available on Tubi, I believe, for another 7 days.
Yep.
You can check it out.
Makes me wonder if there's something big planned for the 4th of July.
I think
that,
so.
That it's coming off of Tubi for a short amount of time. Maybe Joe Bob might be Return of the Living Dead. I don't know.
I mean, if he did, that would be awesome.
It'd be party time. Personal experience, Jeff. Personal experience with the Return of the Living Dead franchise.
My personal experience was I saw this movie once when I was 13 years old, loved it, and then I watched it again for this.
So I think the first Return of the Living Dead thing I had seen, do you remember Chiller Channel? It was like a DirecTV horror movie channel.
Yes, I do remember
I think it was
that.
Called Chiller. Maybe it was Thriller?
I think it was Thriller, yeah.
One time I was... Back when it existed, they were doing like a zombie marathon, and I think I caught either Necropolis or Rave of the Dead or whatever. And so I had seen that, and then I had watched Return of the Living Dead, the original, after that. Loved it.
I think I saw it on a Halloween movie marathon on Sci-Fi Channel back when they used to do them.
The return?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, solid. Oh, that'd be fun. It'd be fun to see this on. I mean, it's a party movie. Throw it on at any party. I'm gonna keep coming back to that. It's a party movie because it's party time.
Yes, it is party time. And if you're a teenage boy, you'll know what scene I'm talking about.
Yep, probably the most famous scene.
The scene.
Do you have anything else, Jeff? Or are you ready to dive into the synopsis? To dive back into the synopsis?
Let's dive. Get it back out of the pool, then we could dive back in. No. The only thing I wanted to note was the effects controversy. I talked to Jay a little bit about it before we started. Essentially, the first effects guy they hired for this movie was so legendarily bad. You could still see a few of his effects in the movie, and they try to use like wide shots and stuff to like pan around it. But apparently it was so legendarily bad that he was blacklisted from Hollywood and never allowed to do special effects again.
Yikes.
So there's that. And then, I mean, in a way, I guess it was good for everybody but him, because we ended up getting the effects that I think still hold up pretty well in this movie to this day.
We're going to get to it, but the half zombie kind of skeleton lady, such cool effects. Yes. I think that looks amazing.
I mean, the half dog.
Yeah. I love the half dog.
Yeah.
All right.
It's half a dog. What's not to love?
We get the words on the screen. The events portrayed in this film are all true. The names are real. The names are real names of real people and real organizations. We're at Unita Medical Supply Building, July 3rd, 1984, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We're in Louisville, Kentucky, Jeff. This is the second movie in a row that's been in Louisville, Kentucky.
Indeed.
Wild, wild, wild how the universe works like that. Bert, the owner of Unita Medical Supply, is leaving. Get ready for 4th of July weekend. While Frank is going to show Freddy, the new guy, how to do the job.
Oh, and it's a complicated job, Jay.
You gotta get F.
Yes, you see what happens, Jay, is we get an order. Then you gotta go to the shelf and you gotta put that order in the box. Okay, don't mess this part up. You gotta put it in the box. And then put the packing peanuts on top.
You need PT for perfect teeth.
Yes.
You need AF for adult female, PT, perfect teeth.
How could we possibly figure this out? Of course, everyone knows that all skeletons are grown on a skeleton farm in India.
It does make me, based off of what we see later in the movie, it makes me wonder if all of their real skeletons are in fact not real skeletons.
No,
because they don't reanimate.
Almost certainly they're not real ones.
He shows Freddy around. We get skeletons. We get split dogs. We even get cadavers. Well, cadaver. In a fridge. Cut to Freddy's girlfriend Tina and his friends Spider, Chuck, Casey, Scuzz, and Trash looking for a place to party. So they go look for Freddy at his job.
Yeah, of course. You know where you want to party. It's somebody's job.
Back to Freddy and Frank. Frank tells Freddy that the craziest thing he ever saw was in 1969. which is after the events of Night of the Living Dead, at a Pittsburgh VA hospital, 245 trioxin got loose and in the morgue and reanimated all the dead bodies. And the movie Night of the Living Dead is based off of it, and that they have the some of these bodies at UNITA because of some typical army fuck-up. Mm-hmm. And offers to show it to Freddy. They go down to the basement and look into the barrels, and Freddy goes, "These don't leak, do they?" And Frank goes, "Hell no. They were made by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers." Smacks the side of it, and gas starts spraying out, knocking Freddy and Frank unconscious.
I'm sure you know what SNAFU stands for, don't you, Jay?
No.
Situation normal, all fucked up. It's a common Army acronym.
Opening credits. We see the corpse in the barrel start to melt, and then the barrel breaks open. We follow the gas out of the basement and into the ventilation system, where it goes into the room with the refrigerated room with the cadaver, and the cadaver starts moving. Credits end.
I really miss that alien from the Phantom Menace to go, "It's gone up the ventilation shaft."
Just splice it in. The Jeff cut of Return. It's the same movie. It's just got that.
It's got that one scene.
4 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, which I don't think that time adds up. 4 p.m. would have meant it was already 8 p.m.
Yeah. No, the timeline does not make any sense at all.
A car pulls up to a gated house with guards. Colonel Glover gets out, and after berating his wife Ethel for a while, says that they need to find the missing trioxin barrels.
Yeah, you stupid bitch. I had lamb chops for lunch, and you should know that.
And also, like, she's like, "How was your day?" And he's like, "Crappy."
Yes, I mean, to be fair, I mean, that's what I usually say when I get home from work. "How was your day?" Shit, like usual.
7:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Once again, the timeline doesn't add up. Not at all. The gang has met up with Suicide in his convertible, and while they wait for Freddy to get off work at 10, they go to hang out at Resurrection Cemetery. Ironic name.
Sure, that won't come up later, Jay.
Back at UNITA, Freddy and Frank come to and get out of the basement. They're coughing and they're sneezing. As I say,
after Frank sounds like he's about to die for the entire time.
They're sweating like crazy. They've got massive sweat stains. They don't sound good. They don't look good.
They're a regular Jeff and Jay.
Yep. Yeah, that's just a regular... Jeff, are we turning into zombies?
It's taking a long time, if that's the case.
They keep talking about how bad it smells. Freddy hears a dog barking, and they find a half dog, but it's alive, and Frank beats it with a crutch.
And then it proceeds to whine because it can't be killed by the crutch.
Then they hear screaming coming from the cadaver fridge. Frank locks it in, and we see the butterfly specimen flapping their wings, which I think is a really cool moment.
Really nice touch.
Freddy wants to call the cops or the army, but Frank elects to call Bert instead.
Shouldn't we call the number on the barrel? No, we don't want the fucking army snooping around here. We close this place for sure.
At the cemetery, Trash talks to Spider about death, and then starts stripping and dancing.
Oh, yeah. Get the lights, Jay. Trash is taking her clothes off again.
Again. Means it happens. This means it isn't the first time it's happened where Trash just stripped and started dancing.
God, I want to be a member of this friend group.
Bert arrives at UNITA and decides they should destroy all the evidence and to kill the cadaver. They open the door. It's a great scene where Freddy's opening the door. Frank's got like a pickaxe. Yes. And like is gonna hit it as soon as it runs out, and it runs just straight past Frank. Yes. Right into Bert and tackles him.
Oh God, get her off me.
Frank then is able to bury the maybe Bert's able to bury the pickaxe. Yeah. Into the zombie's head, because they're like, oh, we need to destroy its brain, except it's still alive.
Yes, it just makes a horrible wailing sound after they spike it through the head.
And so it keeps moving and screaming, so Bert then decapitates the cadaver, which just causes the body to get up and run around while the head's still moving around on its own.
The effect you can hear, because it's just continuously screaming through this whole thing, when he cuts through the vocal cords, you can kind of hear it as it tears it apart. It's pretty interesting.
They tie up the body and try to think of a way to dispose of it, and Bert sees Ernie.
Oh, yeah.
What a funny joke. Who runs the mortuary across the street is working. Freddy says, well, how are we going to get it over there? And Bert says, hand me that bone saw. 9:16 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, back at the cemetery. Trash continues strolling around naked as Freddy, Frank, and Bert go to the mortuary. And I think Tina maybe sees him, and she's like, is that Freddy? And Spider's like, what would Freddy be doing at the mortuary? Yeah.
And she also asks Trash if she's going to put her clothes back on. And what she say, like, what, are you jealous?
Bert tries to convince Ernie to let them in to use the incinerator on the cadaver by telling him it's a bunch of rabid weasels.
Obviously. I mean, Jay, who hasn't got a bad shipment of weasels?
I hate when that happens. But when he doesn't believe him, they show him the cadaver. And also Frank and Freddy are starting to look real bad. They're starting to look really pale. They've got big bags under their eyes, sweating a lot.
Yeah, yeah. We're getting more Jeff and Jay like as time goes on.
Oh, God, they're turning into fat boys.
Yeah. They cringe when they have to see a staircase. It's crazy.
Tito leaves the cemetery to go look for Freddy since it's 10. But no one is at UNITA because they are all at the mortuary where Ernie has agreed to let them use the incinerator. But the smoke from the cadaver burning releases trioxin into the clouds, which causes the trioxin to rain down over the cemetery.
Perfect.
Everyone gets in Suicide's car because the rain is burning their skin, especially Trash, who's naked.
Yes.
Frank and Freddy tell Bert about how they aren't feeling well since they breathe the trioxin, and Bert calls the paramedics. We see zombies start to crawl out of their graves. Tina goes looking for Freddy in the basement of UNITA, but runs into the tar man, who says, "Brains!
Fresh brains!"
And chases her, and Tina falls through one of the stairs, because earlier on, Frank had said something about, like, watch the third step.
It's a bitch.
And so Tina, of course, falls through the third step. Tina hides in a cabinet, and Tarman, showing some intelligence, attempts to use, like, a winch to open the doors to the cabinet.
Good God, he's using leverage.
The gang arrives and follows the sound of Tina's screams, and like, they kind of don't know what's going on, and Suicide, like, pulls back a curtain, and Tarman just lunges at him and bites straight into his skull.
He says, "More fresh brains." Yep.
And the gang gets out of the basement. The paramedics arrive at the mortuary while checking Freddy and Frank's vitals. They aren't picking up anything, strangely. Almost like they're dead, but they're talking and stuff.
Their temperature is room temperature.
The gang runs back across the street to the cemetery, and zombies start rising from the grave as the song Party Time kicks in.
Party Time.
Trash gets separated from the group and is swarmed by zombies. We get one group of Spider, Scuzz, and Tina, and we'll have another group of Casey and Chuck.
When Trash is having her sexual death fantasy earlier, she says that the way she's afraid to die is ripped apart, surrounded by old men, and that's pretty much exactly what happens to her. She doesn't seem like she's enjoying it, Jay.
The paramedics tell Freddy and Frank they don't know what is wrong with them, but they are effectively dead.
Much like us, they're effectively dead.
Tina, Spider, and Scuzz reach the mortuary and tell Ernie he needs to lock the doors and call the cops because the dead are rising. Zombies chase Chuck and Casey back into UNITA, where they attempt to call 911, and then a zombie just bursts through the door, ripping up the phone, and so then they have to lock the door.
It's a great scene.
The paramedics go outside to get gurney so they can take Frank and Freddy to the hospital, and they just immediately get overwhelmed in a great scene where, like, one of them goes to the back and the other one goes to the front and, like, turns on the headlights, and you just see it's pitch black, headlights come on, and there's just a horde of zombies right there.
Yep.
They attack the guy at the front, and then the guy at the back kind of, like, goes, closes the door, and then just gets jumped.
Mm-hmm. And this is the first time they do the radio trick, but it won't be the last.
Yeah, where they come on and they go, "Send more paramedics."
Yep.
Chuck and Casey attempt to call the cops this is where Chuck and Casey attempt to call the cops and the zombie bursts through the window. Yeah. Freddy and Tina are reunited, and Ernie goes to get his car just to be chased back inside by a legless zombie. It's a really funny scene.
I love that scene.
Spider, Bert, Scuzz, and Ernie run around trying to barricade windows and doors as Surf and Dead plays. Great
such soundtrack. A good soundtrack in this movie.
Outside, the second paramedic's ambulance is dispatched. Inside, Ernie realizes that Frank and Freddy are going through the stages of rigor mortis. They hear the ambulance arrive and watch as the two more paramedics just instantly get jumped. They hear zombies breaking the barricade and rush to push them back just for a skeletal lady zombie to grab Scuzz and bite his head. Ooh. And she gets pulled inside with him. Bert and Ernie kind of, like, pin her down and move her, and they tie her up and they take her away so they can research her.
You sure she's tied up tight?
She's got the same amount of strength as we do.
Oh, boy.
Even though they clearly don't.
I was going to say, they're clearly stronger, but whatever.
They talk to the zombie because they realize it maintains some level of intelligence. She says they eat brains because of the pain of being dead, and it makes the pain go away. And she has maybe there's some great lines in this movie, but she has maybe my favorite line, which is the, I can feel myself rot.
Yep.
Such a great line. And they discover that there's no way to destroy them and that they just have to burn all the zombies, completely unaware that burning the zombies is what caused the zombies to show up. We see trash rise out of the mud, still naked, and a homeless man is just like pushing his cart along the street and turns and sees like a sexy naked trash walk out of like the mist covered graveyard. He's like, oh my, just for him to come up and attack him.
Yep.
Bert proposes locking Frank and Freddy away so they can't hurt anyone, but Tina is against it. They take them to the chapel and tell Tina they need to lock the door, and she says she's staying because she loves Freddy so much.
A little side note, Jay, for our Instagram, I think you should put the trash zombie walking out of the mist and then do the wood meme. Wood.
We see two cops arrive and they instantly get overwhelmed by zombies. And we see another zombie get on the radio and says, send more cops.
You know, like the police do when they need backup.
Ernie says they should use nitric acid to destroy the zombies because that'll destroy everything, but he only has like a small beaker full.
Tiny beaker. Yeah, that'll be enough for all of them.
Inside the chapel, Freddy fully turns and attacks Tina. The guys rush in to help her, and Frank escapes as they're fighting Freddy. I love it. Just Frank just slowly walks out behind them. They splash Freddy in the eyes with the nitric acid, and they're able to kind of get out and seal him back in the room. They run to the lab of the mortuary and lock themselves in as a now blind Freddy bursts through the door that they had just locked and runs down the hall, like just knocking shit over because he's a blind zombie.
Pretty cool.
Bert and Spider go to get the cop car to get them all to safety. But as soon as they get to it, their zombies just mob them from every side. And they try to like pull up to the front, but there's so many that instead they have to drive away. Mm. And Tina's like, they left us.
Yeah.
And it's like,
they didn't have a choice.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, they had no choice. However, when they pull out into the streets, there's already zombies running through the streets.
Oh, my God.
They crash into UNITA, where Casey and Chuck are still held up. Ernie and Tina hide in the attic to hide from the rampaging Freddy. Frank makes his way back to the incinerator and puts himself in it.
Yep.
Great scene. Love that scene, too.
Yeah, I like it.
A line of cops arrive at the cemetery just to instantly get jumped by all the zombies.
Ambushed.
The people in UNITA get they get to knock Tarman's head off and get into the basement to call the cops. They get through where the police have set up a blockade, and a horde of zombies just rushes them. Bert then sees the number on the barrel, and it's patched through to the military, and eventually to Colonel Glover. Colonel Glover gets a bunch of information about what had happened, about what Bert had did.
And then how many? And where at what area exactly?
And why didn't you call us when this first happened?
Understandable. You burned it. Okay, good.
and then what happened?
Yeah.
Colonel Glover goes into his office and goes to a computer and calls the president, who authorizes a tactical nuclear strike of Louisville.
Good.
We hear the whistle of the missile as we see the people in the basement, Ernie and Tina in the attic as Freddy breaks through, and trash and a horde of zombies watching, and then a flash of light and the nuke hits. It's 5:01 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 4th of July.
Dun, dun, dun.
We then hear Colonel Glover's voice saying, it was optimal with only 4,000 casualties, and that he wouldn't worry about the fires because the rain is putting it out, and there are complaints about burning skin, but it's just a minor irritation.
Yeah.
We then see the rain falling on a cemetery and the dead screaming in their graves as the skeleton from earlier bursts out again.
He also, when he's on the phone with the general, he says, yes, the president is touching down there tomorrow morning to make a speech, so you all know what's going to happen.
Yep. And then, Party Time kicks in again.
Party Time.
What a great song.
Yep.
Credits roll in the movie.
It's Party Time.
We get a bunch of great scenes of random scenes in the movie again.
Yep. Well, I love when movies do that, when they replay like the greatest hits reel during the credits.
One of my favorites is The Howling 2.
Oh, yes.
Where it's just that woman ripping her top off over and over. My brother and I had watched that. I was maybe like 13 years old. I was hanging out with my brother, and he was like, "Oh, let's watch The Howling 2." And so we watched the whole movie, and then the credits start, and it's just that woman ripping her top off over and over again.
You know, the weird focus on her makes a lot more sense when you know the original title is the original title was Sturbo Werewolf Bitch, and then they added The Howling thing for U.S. branding.
All right, well, Jeff, where do you want to start off for, or do you have anything else before we dive into categories?
Nah, I think we pretty much covered everything.
Great movie.
Such a good movie.
It's party time. Yeah, where do you want to start?
I don't know, Jay. How about we talk about how summery this was, since it is Fat Boy Summer after all. All
right, it's hot, hot, hot. How summery is this movie? How summery are the kills?
Well, you know, Jay, these kills all take place on the 4th of July weekend, so that makes it pretty summery.
Yeah.
I mean,
but in all actuality, not really.
I mean, there's a huge rainstorm when people want to be out and grilling. That's very Iowa summer. I like that.
I'd say the movie itself, pretty summery. This is that, like, it feels hot.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, 4th of July weekend, but also it's also the movie's just about partying.
Yep.
Kind of like
women dancing naked. I mean, you know, the usual, the things Jay and I usually do at our parties.
Yeah. The thing that's happening right over there at this pool that we're sitting by.
Oh my God.
How about Jeff, how about we do Song of the Summer, favorite quotes?
Oh, you know, we got some quotes. Look, it's your friend and mine. Shut the fuck up, you ball busting bitch. My favorite suicide quote in the movie.
Oh, well, I'll do my favorite suicide quote. You think this is a fucking costume? This is a way of life.
Yeah. Have some respect for the dead, bitch.
another one that I love. This is trash. And then Spider. Do you ever fantasize about being killed? And Spider goes, never.
Never. Not once.
And then, like, she continues to kind of monologue with Spider just being like, nope.
Yep.
Chuck, let's get some light over here. Trash is taking off her clothes again.
Yep. No, his response to her monologue as she's, like, getting visibly more aroused as it goes on reminded me of you if you were in that situation. Doesn't it just make you feel hot? No, not at all.
Come in, dispatch, send more paramedics. Yes. And then later, send more cops.
Send more cops.
Great line. Yes. And then, like I said, probably my favorite line of the whole movie is the, I can feel myself rot.
All of her lines are great.
Yeah.
About the pain and all that. My favorite one later on from Freddie is, don't you love me? I love, and before he can finish it, your brains.
I also love the one where he's like, Tina, let me in. I broke my hand or something.
Yeah. You made me hurt myself again.
Oh, my.
Oh, heard this old song and dance.
Oh, man. What a movie. Well, Jeff, how about we squeeze into these Speedos?
Oh, boy.
Talk about sets, costuming, etc.
Let's do it.
And zombies all looked really good.
Good zombies. Pretty much the only thing, there's one weird kind of frame when the headless zombie stands up where he looks kind of weird. But, I mean, you can overlook that easily.
And what, the skeleton zombie is the one that...
The skeleton zombie at the end, you could see the stick that they're using to make his jaw open. But I'm like, whatever, that just adds to the charm.
And then, especially the puppet work on the lady zombie, I think is so cool.
That was great.
The
gas looks great, especially the effect where the zombie loses all of its flesh when it's exposed to the air for the first time in years.
Yeah, the tar man.
Yes, that looks amazing.
No, love that. Love Freddy with the acid in his eyes. I think that's one of the iconic. Like, I think trash, iconic image. I think the half lady zombie, tar man, certainly iconic image.
Mm-hmm.
I think another one is Freddy with the acid in his eyes.
Yeah. We talked about the butterfly thing. I thought that was a nice touch to have all the butterflies on the specimen board start flapping their wings again.
Great score and soundtrack.
Yeah.
Light, like we called out.
No, it's such a great soundtrack, and it kicks in at the perfect times. Especially the synth-heavy, like, main theme reminded me of something John Carpenter would have done.
Yep.
Which I think is not a coincidence, because the director of this movie was an apprentice on John Carpenter's Dark Star.
Okay. Oh, yes, I did see that. Yep. Yeah. Oh, man.
John Carpenter, hack. Never influenced anybody to do anything good, Jay.
Yep.
Movies are terrible.
Yeah, clearly. I think everyone's like costume looks really, really good. I have to say this might be Linnea's most iconic look.
Yep.
Which is certainly saying something with, you know,
her number of looks. Yeah. Yep.
But like, I don't know, you know, I think for a lot of people, you think Linnea Quigley and you think the red hair, the red costume, the leg warmers,
something like, else.
Yep.
You think something.
And I think for a lot of people, when they think Linnea Quigley, they think trash. For me, it's what's her name? It's whatever her name is in Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Yeah.
But
I would say that, her Antler Girl.
I'd say that's an iconic look too when she's impaled on the antlers. But
I don't know. I'd say when her name comes up, I always think of trash first.
Yeah, that's anything else you wanted to shout out, set, score?
The crematorium, I thought they did a really good job with that, and the oven effect itself.
It feels like they really shot it in a crematorium, especially when Freddy's kind of rampaging.
Yeah.
And like it's like a long, almost like marble hall. Yeah.
No, that all looks amazing. I thought the warehouse setup was cool with like the freezer with the double meat hook for the corpses and stuff to hang. And of course, we didn't talk about it much, but the effect on the half dog I thought was really well done.
It looks so good.
And the effects, it sounds so genuinely like a dog getting beat when he's beating it with the crutch.
And I love the half dog. Like, you know, the half dog's alive. It's panting and barking and like wagging its tail.
Yeah.
And I just love that, like, it's not interested in eating brains.
Yeah.
The half dog's just being a half dog.
Yeah, it's a half dog for sure.
Classic half dog situation.
Becomes a quarter dog after the crutching.
Oh, you got your half dogs for veterinary school.
Of course.
Well, Jeff, bummer summer, the thing you would fix.
Oh, well, Jay, that's hard for this one because there really isn't a whole lot of bummer in this one.
That was what I ran into as well.
But if I had to pick something, I would say a little bit of the pacing of the story, I think I would change. We talked about it a little bit before, but I think I would have Suicide die later because, in my opinion, he dies a little bit earlier than I would want him to because he's developed to be an interesting character, but then he's instantly killed. By the tar zombie. It has his head bitten like an apple. Just chomp right out of the top of it. And I think I would have adjusted. Maybe we see the people who are over in the medical warehouse a little bit sooner than we get back to them. Because I think you said it's about 20 minutes between when they get locked in there and when we see them again. I'd like to know what was going on over there.
Yep. No, there's the great line. Mine is pretty much the same thing. I would like more with the rest of the gang. Add like 10 minutes to the run. This movie breezes by. It's 90 minutes.
It's way too quick.
You can throw 10 more minutes in it and get a bit more for some of these characters. No, there's a scene where like Chuck and Casey are like, it cuts back and you're like, oh, I forgot these people were there. And Chuck says something and Casey just goes like, Chuck, I shit like this is why I remember why I hate you or something like that. It's such a great line.
I think I would have liked a little bit more maybe with the cops' response and a little bit more with the military, too. I don't think that would have hurt.
Yeah. No, I honestly think maybe get like a news reporter like reporting and then get swarmed or something
like that. Maybe have that would be a perfect scene to add, basically. Have them overwhelm the police barricade, get to that reporter or whatever, and have like maybe the colonel watching that on TV or something. And then, you know, he makes his call or whatever, like the situation's out of containment.
Well, Jeff, the opposite of a bummer summer, wet hot American summer, the thing you want to praise.
God, what a wet hot American summer.
You taste like pizza. I don't like you anymore.
Who beefed? I think that's the sequel. But it's so hard to find something to praise in this movie because everything is so good. But if I had to pick something, I would say it's the masterful like writing of the movie that really sells it for me because it balances, like we were talking about a little bit before, people consider the George Romero branch of these movies to be the bleak, dark, depressing one. But if you really drill down into this movie a little bit, this has got to be like one of the most depressing movies like we've watched on this show.
You scratch the surface. No, it's like, you know, like I keep saying, it's a fun party movie. Mm-hmm. But if you even like think about it critically in any way, if you scratch the surface, you go, Well, they were fucked to begin with. Yeah. Like,
it's like, yes, when you stop and think about it, it's like, these people do everything that you would logically think would help you solve this problem based on what you know about zombies. They try the brain, they try cutting off the head, they try slicing up the body, they try burning it, and every step they take, even though it's the logical, correct step to take based on what they know, makes the situation so much worse. And it's all, like you said, a struggle against nothing, because there is no solution to the problem.
Because even when they nuke it, it just causes
it
more.
It just makes it worse. Yep. It's like, it's honestly, it's kind of like the hopelessness of, I think it's probably based on the time, commenting on the mutually assured destruction fears at the time, the mad theory.
Yeah.
Or it's like, yes, I mean, we could try to destroy this problem, but ultimately that only makes it worse. And it's just the way that it strikes the balance of, you can watch this as a funny movie, because I think a lot of people do just take it as like, oh, it's like a comedy, basically. It's pretty fun to watch. It can be that, but it can also be just totally depressing if you stop and think about what the movie's actually telling you. Especially like the way that the zombies, they're still in there. They're not like soulless husks or whatever. The person that they were is still there. I mean, you could tell that with Freddy trying to use his knowledge against them.
Yep.
And just the testimony from the one that they capture, the lady who's constantly in pain, and the only thing that alleviates the pain is brains. It's like, it adds a whole new horrible dimension to the zombies too.
Thing I would praise, I think all the cast deserves praise. All great, tremendous actors. Going through the list of actors for Dive In was kind of a task. Like, I wanted to get all the kind of the main people, but it was like, to find any movies they might have been a part of, things we might have seen them in before or again, and it's just like you know, list after list. It's just a bunch of like esteemed character actors,
which I mean, I could see why. If they were involved in this, obviously they were very talented.
But I think the person who deserves the most credit is Linnea Quigley.
Yeah.
She steals, I think, the whole movie for me. It was one of those things where, like, the first time I saw it, it's like, okay, like, yeah, like, Linnea's in this, it's great. You know, mm-hmm. I'm watching the movie for the Return of the Living Dead. And it was one of my later rewatches. There was a moment where I went like, everyone's getting out of the car and Linnea's sliding down the hood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Linnea's has this like weird like affect, like the do you ever think about being dead? Like, just everything she like she does is just the funniest thing. And I don't know if that was direction. I don't know if that was her own choice.
I think it's probably just her.
But it's just so good. And it's, like I said, so different from everything else she's in, where she's just kind of a blonde girl with her top off. Mm-hmm. She's a redheaded yes. punk girl with all of her clothes off.
Yes. And she's, I would say this is definitely, if you wanted to pick through her roles, this is her most iconic character for sure.
When I met her last year and got Silent Night, Deadly Night signed, everyone else waiting in line was there for Return of the Living Dead stuff.
I mean, I could understand why.
Yep. Final rating. Every episode of Horror for the Holidays, we rate our movies on one of three categories: ho ho hilarious, seasonally scary, you'll be sorry, but it's Fat Boy Summer. So, Jeff, is this movie summer loving? Is it Some Like It Hot, or is it A Cruel Summer? whatever those things are may mean.
Yes, who knows? Who knows what these legally distinct references are to today? No one knows. Well, I would almost say, if you just went with the surface level, it would be a hot, hot summer. What is that?
Some Like It Hot.
Some Like It Hot, yes. But I think we got to go with the seasonally scary equivalent for this one.
Summer loving.
Got to go summer loving, Jay. Because it's so great on every level. You can make it can be as shallow or as deep as you want it to be. It can be a fun party movie. It could be the existential horror of the zombie threat. I mean, it's got jokes. It's got absurd moments with some of the stuff. Like when we talked about the rabid weasel thing. It's like, that's how you could tell it's a horror comedy, with inclusions like that. But I mean, it's just, it's such a cool depiction of zombies. And it does a lot of things that people just take for granted now, is like, oh, that's just a zombie thing to happen or whatever. Because, I mean, if you said, what do zombies say? 99% of people on the street are going to go, brains.
And that didn't come from Night of the Living Dead. That came from this.
Yes. So, I mean, it's just had such a huge impact. It's such a blast to watch anytime, not just on the 4th of July, even though this is a Fat Boy Summer.
Yep.
I would have to give it the highest rating we can.
This is the greatest horror comedy ever made. This is ho-ho-hilarious. This is, for me, this is some like it hot. I mean, it's everything you said, but like, I'm sorry, you're having a fucking party, you're out grilling, you're drinking beers, you know, whatever. Fucking throw on The Return of the Living Dead.
Fucking.
It's gonna be great. The soundtrack's amazing. It's party time.
It's party time.
This is the ultimate party movie. This is probably the greatest horror comedy of all time. And yes, everything you said, like I agree with you. Like, no, it's incredibly deep. You scratch just a little bit of the surface and you go, well, everyone's fucked. Like, there's no way to survive this. But at the same time, it's just such a good fucking movie. It's such a good time. I'm sorry. This is a good time, fun time, laugh your ass off movie. This is like I said. This is some like it hot. Some like it hot, and sometimes when the heat is on.
But not that.
Yeah. No. It's something. It's legally dissimilar.
It's ours. We made it up.
Yeah, we created this. I completely agree with you. I think this could absolutely be
fall into either category.
Yeah, this could fall into either category. Just for me, it's a party movie. It's fucking party time.
It's party time.
I bought the soundtrack for Return of the Living Dead. It's in that crate next to you.
Nice.
And literally, like, song number two is Party Time, and all I want to do is just fucking play crank Party Time.
Maybe we'll have to work that into the outro of this episode.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, I don't want to get sued. Well,
we won't get sued.
If we haven't gotten sued by Eric Freeman yet, no. We're not going
to. I mean, we can. You're legally allowed to use up to 30 seconds of a song if you want to, Jay. And I know podcasts that do it.
Yeah, so that's fair.
If we want to make it party time, we can make it party time.
Well, Jeff, maybe we got some sand in our buns.
Oh, no.
It's time for reviews that are different than what you and I think.
No. I mean, if you think anything other than this is a great movie, I don't even know if I can really talk to you.
Oh, I agree.
But, I mean...
What the hell? Well, what's... Oh. My thing's all weird. Hold on.
Quick, Jeff. Vamp. Vamp!
I lost all my... I didn't lose them, but, like, they... I don't know. They're... My reviews are showing up weird. Okay, I think I got them all.
Okay, fix it. Good, good.
I think I got four, maybe?
I also have four.
All right. As always, mine came from IMDb. 1 out of 10. I thought I had seen it all until this.
Okay.
A grotesque spectacle masquerading as horror comedy, Return of the Living Dead is a cesspool of amateurish acting and gratuitous smut.
Ah.
We got a real Puritan on our hands. The cast shrieks and flails with all the subtlety of a carnival sideshow, while Linnea Quigley's infamous, nude graveyard dance epitomizes the film's juvenile obsession with exploitation over substance.
Oh my God.
The zombies, oozing and screeching, are the only credible performers, overshadowing the human cast's wooden delivery and cringeworthy punk posturing.
Oh my God.
Dan O'Bannon's direction wallows in sleaze, trading tension for the cheap gags and gore, leaving audiences with a hollow, grimy aftertaste, a nadir of 80s excess and waste. From Bring Back the Nostalgia.
Oh my God. You need to go back to wherever you came from,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah. Like,
go back under whatever rock you live under.
I literally saw this and I'm like, shut the fuck up.
I mean, obviously, if you think that about this movie, then you're only taking it like at face value, surface level. Because there's no way you could think that if you thought about it at all.
And I don't think you and I both praised the entire, like all the actors in this movie. They all do a great job. Like, we think this is a well-directed movie. Like, there's nothing to fucking criticize this movie for.
Are you ready for this, Jay?
Yeah.
1 star, brain dead viewing by Karen in Kalamazoo. I came expecting horror.
Fucking Karen.
I got punk rock zombies shouting brains and doing slapstick. What the fuck even is this movie? Am I supposed to be scared, laughing, crying? I can't tell because the plot makes no sense.
I think you're supposed to be laughing.
The characters are obnoxious. The nudity was just weirdly out of nowhere. My husband said it's a cult classic. Well, he can join the cult. I'm out.
Shut up, Karen. 1 out of 10. Pointless. I cannot understand how anybody could like this movie. Now, clearly you don't understand people very, very well. Really. From the moment you learn the zombies are invincible, all the suspense is killed. What's the point? The point is the hopelessness. The point is the survival. Mm. It's not scary and certainly not funny. Not even entertaining. Ending is ridiculous. Well, a stupid ending to a stupid movie. You can't expect more. And I would say, like, the ending is ridiculous. I don't know. Seems pretty accurate for what the U.S. government would probably do in a situation like this.
Yeah. Wow. Some bitter, bitter people out there. Yeah.
People who don't enjoy fun.
Speaking of bitter people, we have our old friend VHS Victim back from famous reviews of yore. I pulled his review of this because it's called Garbage Day at the Cemetery. This movie feels like what happens when a 13-year-old boy finds a fog machine and a bucket of fake blood. The zombies talk, they run, they think. What? The original Night of the Living Dead would be rolling in its grave if it weren't too classy to acknowledge this dumpster fire. If this is comedy horror, it forgot both parts.
The fuck?
1 star.
Wow. Wow. 1 out of 10. Terrible movie rises from the grave. Easily one of the most incompetently acted and directed movies I have ever seen. Ever. But that's not all. The makeup is bad, the costumes are terrible, the set design is amateur hour, the script, assuming there was one, is laughable. The movie is so bad it barely qualifies as drive-in camp. Disagree. I think this would be great to see at a drive-in. It has all the hallmarks of being funded by the Canadian Film Board and made by Cronenberg, but for some reason they gave Dan O'Bannon the job of directing this mess. It's as close to a zero-star movie as you'll ever see.
Nice.
Essentially a 0 stars if I could.
This review is by RealSnob88 and is 0 stars if I could.
Oh, shit.
An acid trip without the acid. I don't know what drugs the filmmakers were on, but they forgot to share. A half-naked punk girl who isn't particularly attractive dancing on a grave.
What?
Mm-hmm. Screaming teenagers, bumbling paramedics, and a zombie that uses the radio to order more cops. This isn't horror. This is Looney Tunes with corpses. The only scary thing was how long it took to end.
I think that's kind of the point. I think it's a comedy. I think it's supposed to be Looney Tunes with corpses.
I don't know, Jay.
All right, this is my longest one.
Okay.
The stupidest movie I've ever seen. Clearly hasn't seen very many movies.
Exactly.
When I first watched Return of the Living Dead, I had already seen the sequels, and I wasn't really expecting a lot of this one. So you watched them out of order. When I got done watching it, I realized I had lost an hour and a half of my life. Then I got mad. Well, that's on you, dude. First of all, the actors sucked. I thought they were just stupid, no-talented morons. Second, there was the fact it was a slap in the face to the zombie master George A. Romero. It's a
slap in the face.
Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, Land of the Dead. Yeah, I know George Romero movies, dude. You don't need to tell me. Zombies are supposed to die when they get their head or brain destroyed, and in this, it's completely destroyed. This zombie cuts his head off. They completely destroyed this zombie, cut his head off, caught him on fire, and he still came back. Well, no, when he got caught on fire, he didn't come back. He spread the toxin. Then there was the fact that they could think and make decisions and talk. That was stupid. Dude, you watched Day of the Dead and Land of the Dead, both movies where the zombies are able to kind of make decisions and return. And even Dawn of the Dead, they kind of return to their old lives in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was stupid. I said this to a friend once, and he said it ignored the Romero classic because it had nothing to do with them. Then why is it called Return of the Living Dead? Did you not do a modicum of research?
It's because that guy holds the stranglehold on the Living Dead thing.
It's just a cheap spinoff, I wouldn't say that, to get some fast cash. The horror movie... Oh, hold on. I had to split it in between two. As a horror movie, wasn't scary at all, and as a comedy, it wasn't funny at all. Well, this guy needs a funny bone transplant. The only thing funny or scary about this movie is the idiot who would spend good money on it. Mm-hmm. holding a mirror up
to me. I see him.
Forget this. If you want to rent a zombie movie, rent a Romero movie, and then completely loses it for me. Or Resident Evil. A not great zombie. Like, people love the first Resident Evil movie. I don't think it's a great zombie movie. I don't think any of the Resident Evil movies are that good.
Well, you know, Jay. Return of the Living Dead is a grave mistake. 0 stars. This is on a guy's personal blog, so he gave it 0 stars.
Oh, cool.
I came into Return of the Living Dead with cautious optimism. After all, it bore the whiff of legitimacy. Co-written by Dan O'Bannon of Alien fame, loosely connected to the George Romero zombie legacy, and praised in some circles as a cult classic.
Once again, it's not loosely connected, it's its own timeline.
What I found instead was an incoherent mess that masquerades as punk horror, quote-unquote, but it's really just 90 minutes of screeching nonsense slathered in fake blood and bad jokes. Let's start with tone. Return of the Living Dead suffers from the worst identity crisis I've seen in horror cinema. Is this a satire? Is it a comedy? Is it a tribute? Is it a parody? A splatterfest with an ironic edge? It aims for all of the above and hits none. The movie swings wildly between slapstick buffoonery and gory nihilism, often in the same scene. One minute you have a half-naked punk girl giving an erotic graveyard monologue about her fear of dying. The next you have a tar-covered zombie calling the cops on a CB radio. It's a tonal whiplash of the highest order. The characters, let's be honest, they're cannon fodder dressed in Hot Topic clearance rack cosplay. Not one of them is likable, believable, or worth caring about. You've got Freddy and Frank, the bumbling duo who accidentally unleashed the zombie plague with the competence of cartoon henchmen. Then there's Bert, the mortuary owner with a bad temper and even worse judgment.
Oh, dude doesn't even know who owns the mortuary.
Add to that a gaggle of disposable punk stereotypes with names like trash and suicide, and you've got yourself a cast straight out of a low-budget Halloween party. These characters don't react like real humans in a crisis. They shriek, flail, run in circles, make baffling decisions that seem designed to speed up their demise, and they never pull off anything clever, and this movie is not clever, though it appears to think it is. Now, the zombies. This is where the film really buries itself. Romero's zombies were terrifying because they were slow, relentless, and mindless. The horror was existential. Here, the zombies are fast, intelligent, and talkative. When a half-melted cadaver explains that eating brains eases the pain of being dead, I genuinely wondered if I'd accidentally tuned into a horror comedy spoof sketch. These movies break every rule of what made zombies scary in the first place. These are not the Living Dead. These are prank callers in Halloween makeup. And let's talk about aesthetic, because this is where fans claim it shines. Yes, the soundtrack is a who's who of 80s punk. Yes, there are some cool matte paintings and goopy effects. But good set dressing does not make a good movie. It's like dressing a corpse in a leather jacket and saying, look, he's still cool. And the visuals don't build dread. They just create a funhouse atmosphere of chaos. The fog machine runs overtime, the color grading feels like a toxic spill, and everything looks like it smells of mildew and Red Bull. Then there's the ending. A tonal nosedive into cynical absurdity. Rather than solve the problem or offer any kind of emotional arc, the film nukes its own setting and characters, then plays a cheerful rock song over a montage of more zombies rising. Ha, I guess? It feels like a middle finger to the audience rather than a bold creative choice. Nothing matters. Everything's doomed. Here's another punk rock riff. Now go home. In the end, Return of the Living Dead is a film that wants to have its corpse and eat it too. It wants to be subversive, but it's juvenile. It wants to be scary, but it's annoying. It wants to be funny, but it's just loud. I understand that it has fans, probably the same people who think that Spirit Halloween is a cool place to shop and hang out. But as a piece of horror cinema, it fails on nearly every level. I may have returned in the title, but I certainly won't be coming back.
Well, got me pegged. You know what? I think that guy doesn't know how to have fun. I think that's the big thing.
Well, I picked this one because it was a serious critical analysis of the movie.
No, movie fucking rules. Shut the fuck up, dude.
And of course, when I read that last line, I'm like, wait a minute. Is it talking about us, Jay?
It is. That's the thing. Every time we get one of these reviews where it's like some like serious critical review, someone like sniffing their own farts, I'm like, And then you just got Jeff and me over here. We're like, this movie's great. This is fun.
I knew this was going to be a terrible fart sniffing review when in the very first paragraph it said, it bore the whiff of legitimacy.
Oh, boy.
But that was the longest fart sniffingest one I found.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. What a fucking dick. Well, Jeff, it's we gotta horde of zombies out here waiting to get into the party. And we gotta figure out our VIP list. And I guess right now we only got one set of things. We got a horde of zombies.
I guess we better put them on the list then, Jay.
What do you should it just be the horde of zombies, or should it be the Tar Man? I guess that's my one question. The Tar Man is the iconic image.
I was gonna say he is the iconic image, but I think we almost have to take the zombie apocalypse like we do for our main list. And I mean, this one it would be hard to beat.
That's fair. All right, yeah. All right, zombies, get in here. You're on the VIP list.
Oh, great. Smells like shit in here now, Jay.
It didn't before. No,
damn it.
Now we got all these zombies milling around poolside. Well, Jeff, it's time for a little bit of this.
Garbage day!
Huh?
No!
Oh, boy. He's breaking out something for summer.
Oh, Jeff, I've been doing some summer searching.
Oh, boy. Jay's known about Fat Boy Summer for a while. This could be dangerous.
We got ice cream truck bite sour punch thingies.
What? You're just saying words now, Jay.
We've, of course, got Mountain Dew Summer Freeze. Oh, once again, I don't remember if we've tried this one on the air or not.
The Summer Freeze.
And last but not least, because it is 4th of July time, we've got limited time Doritos Twisted Queso.
Ooh.
Get twisted with it.
Let's get twisted.
Hang 10.
Whoa, bro. Totally radical chips.
But they've even got like red, white, and blue firework logo.
Nice.
And I was like, that seems pretty 4th of July.
Sounds perfect for a Fat Boy Summer.
Yep. I figured since we're fat boys, we're going to be eating all Fat Boy Summer.
Oh, yeah. Especially since we didn't bring our wives with us. They can't stop us.
Yep. We're gonna be eating extra. All right, so we got cherry sherbet, orange cream bar, Americana pop, and strawberry snow cone.
Oh boy!
Here's the problem once again.
They all look too similar.
All the reds look the same. I don't know which one's strawberry snow cone and which one's cherry sherbet.
I'm taking a gamble that this one looks very slightly less red than the other, so I'm gonna say that's the other one.
All right, I agree with you.
We'll find out after these messages. What are you gonna do first?
Do you need a medical supplies? Call you need a medical supplies.
Exactly.
Don't ask us. We didn't start the zombie apocalypse.
We didn't.
All right, let's start with orange.
Okay, here we go.
I think.
It tastes orange.
I don't know what mine tasted like. Did I maybe get the wrong one? Hold on.
I don't know. This is the kind of quality you can expect from Fat Boy Summer. We don't even know what color candy goes with what flavor.
It didn't taste like anything. Mine didn't taste like anything. Turns out what Fat Boy cover Summer is super spreader COVID Summer.
Jay has long COVID.
The longest COVID. All right, we'll try this one, which I'm assuming is darker.
All right, here we go. I mean, you can taste a little bit.
That one I got a bit more flavor. I wouldn't say that's cherry.
No, it tastes more like watermelon, honestly. Yeah.
I agree. All right, strawberry snow cone. I think that one tastes exactly the same.
Pretty much.
I don't know that there's a difference in the two reds. All right, and Americana pop. Bomb pop flavored.
Here we go. These are just sour straws.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
there's nothing special with these.
Every time we do this, I get disappointed because they don't taste good. Damn you, Sour Punch. I love your stuff, but...
Yeah. This is the same as always.
Well, we got Mountain Dew Summer Freeze. Cherry Lemon Raspberry. It's Bomb Pop flavored. And like I said, if you look at the summer, it has a little Bomb Pop in the U.
Yep. No, it's good. I like it. Solid. The zero sugar version, solid as well.
No, I think this is great. This is actually a good Mountain Dew variant.
It's good for Fat Boy Summer.
All right. Well, while we're finishing up, let's get twisted with this.
Let's get twisted.
Oh my God! Another baby just got smashed.
Oh, don't worry. The zombies are eating the brains.
Yeah, it's fine. Hey, zombie, do you want a twisted queso chip?
Brains.
This is basically like brains. Same health value.
God damn, it tastes like queso. Mm-hmm.
I like that.
A flavor explosion of bold cheese and heat.
Mm. No, it's definitely queso. I like it. It's got the classic Doritos problem where you have to eat like five or six of them to really get the flavor.
I'm going to put three in my mouth at the same time.
It's a real fat boy summer.
Oh, just up doing the truffle shuffle. It's always fat boy summer.
Yep, it's real fat boy summer out here. No, I like it. It's good flavor. Definitely. It tastes like what it says. It's queso. It's got just enough heat to keep things interesting. But I feel like I wouldn't have my mouth on fire like with Flaming Hot Cheetos.
No, agreed. It's not a like the Tapatio Doritos or anything like that. The heat's a little more subtle. Mm. Certainly Sour Punch things at the bottom.
Yeah.
Get that ice cream truck out of here. Get that ice cream truck out of here. All right, they're getting the ice cream truck out of here.
Sir, you can't park your van on the diving board. That's my son.
It's just a fat boy for fat boy summer. I don't know. I'd probably put the Dorito. That's the thing. I'm really impressed with the Summer Freeze Mountain Dew. Mm-hmm. After time after time of you and I being like, how long did we, like this doesn't taste like anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to have one that actually like the last couple Mountain Dews have actually tasted like a thing.
Yep.
Like, I don't know. I kind of want to reward Mountain Dew and say this might be the top. Although, but man, these queso Doritos are really
good. Yeah, I'm kind of torn because I do like the Dew for sure. And yes, it is. It's becoming rare for Mountain Dew to have a hit, which is sad. But
yeah, well, especially I've heard we're not even going to get a Voodoo this year. Yeah. We're supposed to get like a Voodoo
adjacent thing.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do Doritos top for me, then Dew, then the straws.
All right, I agree. I think I can go with that. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. I don't know. Tell us your thoughts about Fat Boy Summer, how fat these boys are.
Send us guesses about our weight.
get us on social media. We're all the places. We are at Horror4Holidays. That's Horror the number 4 Holidays.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the bell. Hit the subscribe button. If you want to get in contact with us, that's a good place to leave comments. All the podcatchers, we're on them all. Listen to us on Apple, on Spotify, wherever you want to. Leave us 5-star reviews. Put 0 stars if I could, so we know you actually listened to Fat Boy Summer.
So we know you're a real sicko.
Oh, yeah. Sickos, and then, of course, the perverts that listen to stocking stuffers.
Yep. Oh, man, those real perverts.
I mean, you got to be like an omega-level pervert if you're listening to Fat Boy Summer.
Yep. Man. we're not even talking about Christmas horror movies. What the fuck even is this?
Yeah, I mean, we're sticking. It's still a holiday. It's Fat Boy Summer.
Yeah. What's the other? Tell a friend. Help spread the word. The best way to spread word of a podcast is to tell somebody about it. That does more heavy lifting, and we need it.
God, do we ever
Fat Boy Summer? than any number of reviews or YouTube subscriptions or whatever. Those all help, but someone's going to be more likely to click on a thing if it comes from someone they trust.
No, I said send it back. Okay, I didn't ask for a ham sandwich. I asked for a ham. Yes, a whole ham. God, Jay.
It's hard to find good help.
Resort sucks.
Last but not least, we're proud to be part of the Christmas Podcast Network. They might not be proud to have us on it,
but we're proud to be on,
especially with Fat Boy Summer going on. But we're proud to be part of it.
I mean, it's Fat Boy Summer. I mean, if anybody from the network wants to get in on this, we got more room at the pool.
Yeah, send them all over. Well, there's plenty of room here for Fat Boy Summer. We'll see you next week for another movie. I think we're going to do Black Phone.
I think we are.
I've not seen it yet. I know you like it, Jeff. From the trailers, looked kind of summery. Kids on bikes.
Yep.
And also another movie that we might be getting to again shortly because the sequel looks a little Christmassy.
Oh, boy.
So something to look forward to there. We'll see you next week for Black Phone. Thanks for listening.
You gonna eat that half-dead fat guy?
Oh, you're more than welcome to him, Jeff Zombie. Bye.
Goodbye.
Brains.
Ham. Ham.
Hey, pool boy, get this guy a ham.
Shit, we're gonna have to swim to get over there.
Damn it. Whoa.
What the fuck was that?
Shut it down!
Give it a couple seconds. We'll get started here.
It's time for Fat Boy Summer. Gonna have to work on the song for Fat Boy Summer. I gotta get the word out to the artist. Oh, I definitely want to do a B-52 style song if we can.
Love it. Yes.
It's our fat Fat Boy Summer.
We went under a dock. There we found some fat boys.
There I found a shipwreck. But it wasn't a shipwreck.
It was a Fat Boy Summer. Fat Boy Summer. You're living in your own Fat Boy Summer. I got me some boys. They're as big as a whale and they're ready for summer.
Yes. Perfect. Building it on the fly. Just be like, give me a backing track that sounds like the B-52's Rock Lobster.